I think all of us would agree that the last 3 months have been rather strange, different than anything I think I ever remember. Even, you know, being retired and staying home and, you know, used to being home, not having to go to work, it is still weird. So our routines have changed. The things that we normally do day to day have been messed up a little bit. We're not doing the same things we did before. A number of us have had hardships. I mean, there have been people that have lost jobs, wages cut back, you know, mothers having to put up with kids that are at home that hadn't been at home. Major hardship for some people. But I think one of the major things that bothers most people in this instance is the isolation, the fact that you're kind of trapped by yourself or with your family or with your spouse, and you miss that gathering, being around other people. What I want to talk about this morning is fellowship. Now, I oftentimes talk about it, we hear about it, Dennis' song mentioned it, fellowship, but do we always understand what fellowship is? Look at a couple of passages here real quick about fellowship. First one I want you to turn to is 1 John 1, verse 3. Now, I'll have them up here. And as I showed you earlier, I'm using the New American Standard, and if you don't want to have to translate on the fly between your version and mine, it'll be up here on the screen. 1 John 1:3, what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Thing this passage tells us, it mentions something about fellowship, and that it says that we can have fellowship with God and Jesus through the gospel. The Apostle John writing here, he tells us that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And he mentions earlier what he is proclaiming to them, the things they have seen, the things they have heard, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next passage, let's look at that again. One other thing in there. He mentions that you may also have fellowship with us. So they have, through this teaching and what they have heard, the gospel that is being spread, not only do they have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, they had fellowship with each other. Look at Acts 2 and verse 42. This is shortly after the day of Pentecost. The church is in its infancy. They're all are in Jerusalem. And the passage tells us they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and prayer. This shows us that fellowship was being practiced and existed in the first century church. The early Christians practiced fellowship. Well, what is the meaning of fellowship? It's not one of our everyday words. You know, it's not one that you use in normal, regular, everyday work or conversations with other people. But what is it? To a lot of people, it is strictly a church word. And for them, it means fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and green beans in the basement of the church building. That's what they consider fellowship. For others, it's strictly a religious term. They don't use it anywhere else. It only belongs in religious connotation. And it generally tends to mean membership. If you are a member of something, you are in fellowship with that group, or you're having fellowship with that group. So let's look at the word fellowship. The Greek word, what I'm using here, comes from Vine's dictionary. It tells us that it is communion, fellowship, or sharing in common. Now, when Vine wrote, all he had available to him was the King James Version and the Revised Standard Version, and it shows there some translations in the RV or the AV, how it's translated in the New Testament, but it communion, fellowship, or sharing in common. And what I want us to focus on is that sharing in common, that idea of sharing in common. A number of years ago, I worked with a gentleman that was fluent in his Greek. He spoke Greek. His family was Greek. He was raised at his grandfather's, with his grandfather in the house, and his grandfather spoke no English, so he learned Greek, and John knew it. You know, we're on a cube farm, and when anybody, he wanted to talk, nobody, didn't want anybody to listen in on a conversation, he talked Greek with his friends and family. So he knew Greek, but I asked him, I said, John, what does the word konos mean? What does the word konos mean in Greek? And he kind of looked for a minute, and he said, community. He said, community. Well, I realized that the Greek of the New Testament, that language was dead. It's kind of a sealed language, much like Latin. It does not change over time. And we all know English and other languages change over time. But Greek today, modern Greek, is based or has its roots in that ancient Greek. So I looked at the word community and got to thinking about it. And what I want you to imagine is think of a small town in Georgia somewhere. And if you've ever ridden somewhere across Georgia on the roads that are not interstate or four lane, get on some two lanes and do some riding, there are some small towns in Georgia. I think particularly of one of them is where my wife's family is from, is Elberton, Georgia. Elbert County. Elberton is the city, the only real city in the town. Now, there are other little places around. There's Vanna and Dewey Rose and Blue Hole and other places like that. But they're just kind of names on the map. The town is Elberton. And in a small town like that, that community, think of this. Every Friday night in the fall, the whole town probably shuts down. They go to the high school football game there. Those that aren't at the game, they're aware of it. Anyway, if they're at home, everybody is aware of it because that's part of the community. You know, maybe in another small town, there's an annual county fair. You know, they've got the rides, the tilt-a-whirl and the scrambler and, you know, these kinds of things. But there's also the 4-H and the FF have got their competitions. You know, they've got the prize cow, the biggest pig, you know, that, and there are awards and ribbons that are awarded for those various things. And the people in that area, in that community, are interested in it because that's what's going on. They know the people that are involved. They are all sharing in that knowledge and information. And then once a week, the newspaper comes out. I know in Elbert County, it is the Elberton Star. It comes out once a week, and everybody either subscribes to it or picks up a copy. They want to know what's going on in town, what's going on with the government, what's the Chamber of Commerce doing, who got married, who died. Look at the police blotter and see who got in trouble. You know, all of these things, they look at that because that's what's happening in their group, and they're interested in it. Those are things that they share in common. They share those things in common. What I want us to do now is look at some things that we share in common. First of all, goals and our purpose. We have common goals. I think all of us want to serve God. We want to teach the gospel to other people, and ultimately our purpose and goal is to get to heaven. We share that. Promises. We know that there were promises under the old law made to Abraham, passed on to Isaac and Jacob, the land, the people, the Messiah, those promises. But the book of Hebrews tells us that under the new law and through Jesus, there are better promises. Better promises. And we share as Christians in those better promises. That is something that we have in common. The assembly. Been a little strange here for the last 3 months, if we've had it at all, but it's different. But it is something that we share together, our assembly, our being together. It's something we have in common. We also share in evangelism, teaching other people the gospel. Teaching here in classes or from up here doing teaching, we share in that. We also share in our support of evangelists from our contributions. Evangelists may be here or elsewhere. We're supporting them. We share in that work of evangelism. Benevolence, we share in that through our contributions for our brethren that are in need. We share the idea of helping one another, having things that are common to each other. We also share grace. The grace of God and the grace of Jesus. How many times can you think of in the New Testament the phrase, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we share in that grace. Well, that grace is another one of those words you don't hear much used outside of a church building. So what is grace? That's, you know, two definitions that I've heard all my life growing up. One is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Favor that is not merited. And the other is getting what we do not deserve. The idea that you get something that you didn't deserve. You didn't earn. There's no way you should receive it. But you get that. And we receive grace in our daily lives. Blessings that God gives us in our everyday walk of life. It may be, you know, and it's the good things that happen to us that come through God's grace. And we also share in the idea of eternal grace. None of us will deserve or earn heaven. None of us. Scriptures tell us that we are at best unprofitable servants. So we do not deserve that, but it is possible, eternal grace. Next thing is mercy. And that's another word, got one of those definitions that I've heard all my life, is mercy is not getting what you deserve. Now, grace is getting what you do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. How many of you remember back as a child being punished, or in my day it was getting a whooping? Remember that you deserve that. You did something that earned that. There was something that you did that earned it. The mercy we receive from God is a chance for eternal salvation. And we didn't earn that. Nothing we could do could earn that for us. We receive mercy in our daily lives. Lots of things that we do deserve something to happen to us. And it doesn't. That's mercy. And then there is eternal mercy. The only way that we're going to get into heaven as unprofitable servants is through the mercy of God. We also share in faith. We have common beliefs, common practices among the brethren. That is something that we share in, that fellowship. Now, those common practices and common beliefs are not universal. Not universal for the area that we live in, nor universal for the country, nor universal for the world. There are multitudes and multitudes of different beliefs. But the things that we share are common beliefs and common practices in our faith. And finally, we share hope. Hope is something that we share. And that is, again, another one of those definitions that I've learned all my life is desire plus expectation. You know, I remember growing up hoping I would be 6 feet tall. Didn't quite make it. Look at my mom and dad and tell there wasn't much hope in that. I mean, I had desire, but there wasn't much expectation involved with that. A lot of times we use the word hope as wish, but we as Christians share in a common hope, the hope of eternal life. But I want to look at a couple of other scriptures. If I can get this going right. Turn to Galatians 2:9 if you wish. Passage there says, "In recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the uncircumcised." Well, now fellowship is something that exists automatically for the Christian with God. When you're in a right relationship with God, fellowship with God exists automatically. But what we see in this one is that fellowship can be extended. Can be extended, because Paul writing there says, they gave to me the right hand of fellowship. Basically, they shared with me. They were willing to share things with me. And fellowship can be shared, you know, properly and improperly. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Now, the fellowship of the Spirit is mentioned there, or mentioned here, excuse me. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, in any affection and compassion, the idea here, and this is just an excerpt of a sentence, is that there is fellowship of the Spirit, things that we share with the Spirit. We know Jesus sent the Spirit to guide the apostles in all truth and to remind them of things that he had said while he was here. So the fellowship with the Spirit is that sharing of the Word and the comfort that comes from that Word, the hope, the grace. The idea is that we know of the promises that were received or promised to us. That is the comfort of the Spirit. Another passage, Philemon 1:6, "And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake." Fellowship of faith, and that is the sharing of faith. Through the Spirit, through our knowledge of the Word, we share a common faith. As I mentioned earlier, these common practices that we receive. But I want us to look at this. Fellowship is conditional. There are conditions on fellowship. I said earlier that fellowship comes automatically. Well, it's based on our relationship with God. It's not something we have to ask for, but if we are in a right relationship with God, then we are in fellowship. But there are conditions on that. Again, going back to 1 John 1, let's read this passage, beginning at verse 3. "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that your joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us." Notice a couple of things here. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 speaks of fellowship between brethren and with the Father and Jesus. John says that you may have fellowship with us. The idea of fellowship with the other Christians there. And then he mentions, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We'll remember those as we go forward. Look at verse 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship requires that we practice the truth. If we're going to have fellowship with God, we must practice the truth. Because it says here, if we say we have fellowship and we're not practicing the truth, we lie. It's not the truth. So we have to be practicing the truth in order to be in fellowship with God. In verse 7, that if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. This tells us that the fellowship requires us to walk in the light. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. Light just being another word for truth. We'll look at a couple of little illustrations here to show this. Little diagram here, we've got God and two men representing brethren. Third verse says, if we have what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship was with the Father. So the apostles had fellowship with God. Their fellowship was with God. And it also, in proclaiming that gospel and people sharing in that gospel, the gospel enabled Christians to have fellowships with God, fellowship with God, and fellowship with each other. So we've got, through the gospel, fellowship between man and God. And again, it's based on practicing the truth. Next thing we want to see in there is this relationship, man to man, we may have fellowship with each other. So man can have fellowship with God and fellowship with other men. They can share in God's promises, and they can share with each other some of the things that we mentioned earlier. Let's look at this in the sixth verse. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in darkness, we do not have fellowship with God. Walking in darkness makes this happen. Fellowship goes away. Well, what does it mean to walk? Another one of those definitions that I've heard all my life is that walk, when that's stated, your walk is your habitual the habitual way that you live, your regular way that you live. Now, Sherry and I like to do hiking. We like to get in the woods and hike. And if you're going to go somewhere, you pretty much need to stay on the trail, or you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to wander around. Now, you walk the trail, but occasionally you may see something off the trail here, a flower, interesting rock, whatever, and go over and look at it, and then come back to the trail and follow the trail. So you can say that you are following that trail, even though you have stepped off of it, because you're habitually on that trail. And that's the idea of walking in darkness and walking in truth. To walk in darkness means that your trail is darkness. You may occasionally do something good, but the habitual conduct of your life is darkness. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, then we're not in fellowship with God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. kind of a universal statement that the prophet makes is, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin separates us from God. It removes that fellowship. It blocks that path of fellowship to God. Sin does. Your sins have hidden his face from you, and he does not hear. So if your walk, your habitual conduct is sin, you're separated from God and do not have that fellowship with him. Sin takes us out of fellowship with God. Look at verse 7 now. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, the habitual conduct of our life is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if we are walking in the light, we've seen that we will have fellowship with God. And this tells us that we will have fellowship with one another. If we follow God's will, we have fellowship with one another. God says if we have fellowship with each other, it says we have fellowship with each other when we practice fellowship. Look at the converse of that, though. The converse of that is that if we do not follow God's will, we do not have fellowship with each other. And if God says we do not have fellowship with each other, we should not practice fellowship with each other. Go over that again. If we do not follow God's will, we do not have fellowship with each other. If this does not exist, then it shouldn't exist here. There are a number of different ways to look at this chart. That if we've got two men having fellowship with each other, and this man is not in fellowship with God, and this man does have fellowship, then he doesn't have fellowship with God. Again, if we do not follow God's will, we do not have fellowship with each other. Those things that I mentioned earlier, that we share together, faith, hope, goals, the assembly, promises, mercy, benevolence, evangelism, we don't share in those things if we're not following God's will, and we cannot. And if there are others who are not following God's will, then we shouldn't extend that right hand of fellowship to them. We should not share with people who are not following God's will. We're going to have brethren that, you know, that fall away, that walk off the path, leave the trail of light and get on the trail of darkness, and that is the habitual conduct of their life. We should not have fellowship with them. We should not share those things with them because we do not have things in common with them. So, been a strange time for us. We haven't been together that much. We haven't been sharing our presence with each other, but we have continued to share the things that God blesses us with. Grace, mercy, hope, chance of eternal salvation, those things, we have that in common and we share it. But if you're not walking in the light, you don't have a chance to share those things. Jesus has said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He has commanded that all men repent. The apostles on the day of Pentecost, when asked what they should do, they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. That's what God intends for us to do. If it is your desire to be in fellowship with God, to be in fellowship with the Father, and therefore being in fellowship with one another, and you have that desire and the knowledge to know what to do, and we can assist you with that. We invite you to come while Dennis leads us. We stand and sing.